And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good afternoon, everybody.
You were going to say good morning, weren't you?
I was. It was dramatic pause. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother Jeff, and we are here at the Tinderbox, which is at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124. We're right next to the Monkey Burger, and I got to tell you, Roy, our good buddy Roy, who is one of the owners of Monkey Burger, was here earlier. Yeah. He brought his cups for the, glasses for the tequila.
Yeah.
He brought some sweet potato
French fries. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so...
So he's working it.
He is working it. Well, actually, I harassed him because they said every time we come to the Tinderbox, we always talk about Monkey Burger. And I had never seen any fries or burgers over here.
Or how about a sponsorship check?
So, yeah, so he rushed right over with some fries.
Oh, that was very nice.
And two glasses. So
way to be the squeaky wheel, Fred.
Well, sometimes I could do that.
Yeah, very good.
Well, we have a really packed show today.
We do. We can't mess around too much today.
No, we can't.
So we want to say thanks to our sponsors, all of our sponsors. Please support them because without them, there is no Fred and Jeff Show. And they include Five Star Pest Control, A Made to Order, Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, Charlie's Comics, H&S Estate Gardening, Mayfield Florist, Power Women Investing, Temco Air Environmental, the wonderful ladies at the Tucson Roller Derby, and your friends at Ronstadt Insurance.
Yeah, they are our friends at Ronstadt Insurance. Now, there's, we have lots of stuff coming up this weekend. One being Chamber Music Plus is doing what they call Still Life. It's this Sunday, the 23rd, at the Burger Auditorium. And what it is, it's music and drama. It's like a play talking about the...
Sounds like my house.
That is.
Music and drama.
Kids, your house.
You know, when you get a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old, there's a lot of singing and screaming.
That is a lot of music and drama. And actually, Mia's going to be an Oompa Loompa, and we're going to actually do...
Yeah. At CYT for the Willy Wonka at the Fox Theater.
In a few weeks, we're going to be talking with those guys.
I hope
about
so, yes.
Program.
Yes.
But this program called Still Life, it's a play about the
quintessential.
Quintessential, thank you very much.
Very nice.
See, I can't speak at all. That's why Jeff is harassing
me constantly. It's too much tequila, right?
Well, I got here early. And when Roy brought the glasses, I had to, pour the tequila.
Imbibe, right. All right, sorry, we keep messing you up.
Yeah. Well, it's about Frida, the very popular, well-known Hispanic painter, and George O'Keefe.
Selma Hayek, you mean?
That's from the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Selma Hayek, yep. It's about Frida and
George. She's a fabulous babe.
George O'Keefe. And it's directed by Lalo Guerrero's son, Dan, is directing the play, and the music is by Harry Clark. It's going to be just a wonderful program. And if you want more information, if you're on Facebook, just go to put in Chamber Music Plus, and you'll get all the information.
And will we link it on our electronic companion, fredandjeff.com?
We will link it on the electronic companion.
All right.
And this, I should give a shout out to Sonda, who harasses me for not coming to her to the Chamber Music Plus event, even though we support it and we talk about it. But there it is. Chamber Music Plus are having a Still Life program on this Sunday. So, I sent a message saying, even though she loves me very dearly, I should get some brownie points for at least promoting the program.
And it's a great program.
It is a great program.
Great program.
Speaking of other, we have another great program here, the March of Dimes, which has been helping kids forever.
Right.
Have a program coming up, and we have Karen Cooper. Who is going to have a huge, huge kickoff event.
Huge.
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 This weekend. So, Karen, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, what we're doing is I geared up with the March of Dimes to do Bikers for Babies.
You know what, Karen? I hate to interrupt you.
Already?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Where are you from?
Tucson, Arizona.
No. What's the name of your business?
Oh, I'm Karen from Big Sky Motorcycles.
All right. And what do you guys got cooking at Big Sky Motorcycles?
Let's see. We do a lot of one-off customs. We work on all makes and models, manufacturers of motorcycles. full service sales, service, parts, and rentals.
All right, and you're a mom-and-pop local business owner.
Yep.
And you have taken it upon yourself to throw a fundraiser for the March of Dimes.
Well, the March of Dimes showed up in my shop one day and said, we need a chairperson. And I said, well, I don't know anything about the March of Dimes. Let me see what I can learn. And I discovered that it's about research and such for premature babies and SIDS research. And once I discovered that, both my grandchildren were premature, and I myself lost a daughter to SIDS. So it was a perfect fit for me.
Perfect fit.
It was a perfect fit for me.
Well, so now what are you guys going to do?
Well, we're going to kick off. We're going to be March of Dimes Bikers for Babies 2011. We're going to have a big party here. We figured January was the right time to kick off 2011. So we're going to have a big party at my shop. A big party.
And where's your shop?
Grant and Oracle are the major cross streets. It's right behind the Circle K on Grant and Oracle,
okay.
313 West Saguaro Street.
Okay. And the party is when?
The party is this Saturday night from 6 to 10.
And what's going to happen?
Well, let's see. We've got food, drinks, a good time, couple of bands going to play for us. We've got Los Naughty Dogs and Abandoned by Heroes going to play for us. We've got the Tattered Dolls coming in to help entertain the crowd.
All right.
And it's just going to be
All your adult beverages provided by Budweiser.
Budweiser and Dos Lunas Tequila.
All right.
So we are going to have all kinds of beverages.
And the fellows from O'Malley's have helped you set this?
Helped us quite a bit. We have a guest bartender from O'Malley's, Patrick. He works the back bar, and they're helping us out with all our pour spouts and serving stuff and all the things we need to run a good bar.
Great.
Budweiser's bringing me all the neon signs to make it look like a bar.
All right.
And we're going to doll up my bike shop and have a good time.
Any food?
Lots of food. St. Francis de Sales Youth Group has taken on all of our catering.
Really?
They are cooking and serving and setting up tables, and they are doing a charitable donation themselves. We'll have youth group kids bussing the tables and serving the food. And
that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's really neat.
How many people are you expecting? Let me rephrase that. How many people are you hoping for?
You know, I'm hoping for quite a few. I'm thinking 1,000 wouldn't surprise me, to
wow.
be honest with you.
That's great.
We're touching so many different, we're not just touching bikers. You know, we'll have the bikers there, and there will be a lot of those.
Right.
But we've got band followers, and we've got March of Dime followers, and so we've got.
It'll be a great cross-section of
Tucsonans. Lots of folks.
That's great. All for a great cause.
Yes. And you don't have to ride a motorcycle to come to my party.
But you have to be over 21.
You can get in.
Well, you have to be 21 to drink.
Can't, okay. Yeah, you have to be over. We'll follow. We got a liquor permit from the city of Tucson.
Okay.
They've been very generous, and we will follow all their rules.
All right. Very good.
Leave your guns at home.
Very good. That's a good idea.
So this is the March of Dimes, Bikers for Babies. And it's a kickoff because it's going to be a year-long event, and it culminates in a big event in November.
Right. The big purpose for the kickoff party is we're doing a very large raffle, and this way we felt we could get the biggest bang for the buck for March of Dimes. So we have a custom motorcycle that was built by my shop, Big Sky Motorcycles. It's a little bobber. It's really, really cute and cool. I shouldn't say cute. It's a bike. But
it's okay.
It's very cool.
A picture of it. It's gorgeous.
It's
bike.
Got a 100-cubic-inch Indian motor and a 6-speed kicker tranny. And for you bikers out there, you all understand what that means. Everybody else, it's just cool.
Very good. Very good.
And so we're hoping that the party will generate a lot of raffle ticket sales. And it will be the one time you can pay to get in the door and get a discounted raffle ticket at the event.
And you're selling, what, 1,000 raffle tickets?
We're selling 1,000 raffle tickets for $50 a ticket.
Okay.
And we have only 1,000, and we have 10 prizes. So the bike is the grand prize, but we've got cash prizes. We've got paint jobs donated, powder coating donated, a bow and arrow from an archery.
So if Fred wants to bring his Schwinn down there, you'd paint that for him if he won?
If he wins in the raffle and gets the paint job, you get it. We'll paint your Schwinn.
Cool. I want flames down the tube.
Oh, I've got a good flame.
You know,
painter.
He does those Tuesday night bike rides around at the U of A.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, so he needs a cool bike.
For a little perk, we'll put my logo on it.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
There you
go. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we want to thank you, small business owner here in Tucson. Doing good by the community. That's outstanding.
This is a great cause. This is something that, you know, I haven't met anybody since I took this on that doesn't know somebody that's had a premature baby or somebody who's been through some sort of baby health.
Yeah, Fred had two.
My first son was actually born almost 3 months prior to his due date and was home before his due date, and he's doing great.
Good.
When AJ was born, I could hold him. He was in the fetal position. I could hold his whole body, head and everything, in my hand.
He was less than 3 pounds.
He was so small.
Yeah, he was in the NICU at TMC for...
forever, it seemed
Well, yes, about a month or so. And we brought him home. He was still in oxygen, did all, you know, continued with all the things we're supposed to do with him. And right now he's a sophomore at University High School.
Yeah. Well, that's probably something, you mentioned the NICU at TMC and
right.
such. That's something that people can relate directly to where the funds for March of Dimes go. It is to develop these NICUs. It's to prepare the hospitals to deal with low birth weight children and different birth defects and these kind of things. So the gal who came to me, Christina, who's our local March of Dimes director, her baby was 2 pounds.
Wow.
And she showed me the diaper that wouldn't fit on a parakeet. You know, I was
amazing.
Just astounded by the whole thing. And so this is why I've jumped on board, and I'm all in.
Well, thank you very much. Oh, and we're going to give away a ticket that gets two people into your party.
Yep.
And the party's this Saturday night, January 22nd, at 313 West Saguaro, Oracle and Grant.
Right.
And the third caller at 529-3508, 529-3508, gets that ticket to get in, too.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
I hope all your fans come. It will be fun.
I do, too. Thanks. And on the other side of the break, we'll introduce you to our next guest, Mr. Dan Bates. So stick around.
That wasn't so bad.
Sit back, take off your coat, baby girl, get it on tonight. Well, I don't want to explain, I just want to unwind. I can't be any more than you already knew. But sit back, take off your coat is what we're gonna do, yeah.
What are some of the simple ways Five Stars treatments last longer?
The simplest place to start was the water. The city water supply is treated with chemicals like chlorine. Chlorine can begin to break down the chemicals before they're even applied.
At Five Star, we use only purified water to mix all of our materials for termite and pest control. This is just the first step in making Five Star's treatments last longer than other companies.
For longer lasting termite and pest control protection, trust Five Star, 886-0045.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest, is at a new location, the southwest corner of Speedway and Craycroft. Open 7 days a week, Charlie's is a full-service comic shop. New comics, back issues, all your collecting supplies, action figures, t-shirts, and more. No subscription too small. Shipping available. Call 320-0279. That's 320-0279. Or click on charliescomics.com. Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest.
Duffield, Adamson, Helen Bolton, Fletcher, PC is a preeminent law firm whose attorneys serve Southern Arizona's community and practice areas of estate planning, probate and trust administration, elder law, guardianship and conservationships, business formation and real estate transactions. Our goal is to provide the highest quality legal services to you and your business in a timely fashion. We welcome the opportunity to talk to you to discuss how we may be of service. There are two Duffield, Adamson, Helen Bolton, Fletcher, PC locations. The main office located in Northwest Tucson at Lawn Quintana Mall on Sunrise Drive. The Green Valley located in Green Valley Village. The Tucson office number is 792-1181. Web address is duffieldlaw.com.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Now have you seen Miss Molly? Her cheeks are rosy red. Her lips are soft as satin and they taste like gingerbread. Whoa, 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 me.
How perfect could this song be to introduce our guest?
That's right. Let us introduce the show. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. I'm Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother Jeff.
How you doing, everybody?
We're sitting over at the Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, inviting all of our friends, family, listeners. Come on down, have a cigar. We have some tequila left. It hasn't all been drunk yet. And we're here with Dan Bates, who is, I would regard as an internationally known Western artist and a local good guy. And we're going to be talking monument art. And Dan, thanks for being here, first of all.
You're welcome, Fred.
And let's talk about what is monument art, just, before we start having a fuller discussion. What is monument art? A lot of people in the paper yesterday or the day before, they had the Curving Arcades, which is a big piece in front of the U of A Mall.
Yeah.
You see all sorts of things. There's what I call the helicopter crash in front of the main library downtown.
Helicopter crash.
Which is actually, I think it's called Sonora. But there's a lot of public art around, but it's not all monument art. So let's talk about what is monument art.
Well, when I think of monument art, I think of big. But really, monumental is something. As far as I, the way I think is, it's memorializing something, you're honoring something, just because it's a large piece of artwork. I guess you could consider it monumental size, just because monumental to me means big, but it also means to me it means something that is honoring or commemorating something.
So, for example, we talk about your pieces. There's the chief trumpeter over at Fort Lowell Park, which people, driving down Craycroft are probably very familiar with.
Chief trumpeter, yeah.
The chief trumpeter.
Yeah, the chief trumpeter is very cool.
He's awesome.
What was the genesis of the chief trumpeter?
Fort Lowell Park needed to be identified as a cavalry post as people drove down Craycroft. You're driving, 60 miles an hour. People didn't even know what they were driving through, and I think that was the motivation, is to put something out there that immediately recognized people, knowing that they were driving through something, and having the chief trumpeter pretty much, I think, told the story of Fort Lowell. At least it got people asking.
It's fantastic.
Questions.
How did you come up with that idea?
Well, it was pretty much what you would have seen at that era. Fort Lowell was real active during the 80s, 1880s, 85, Geronimo finally surrendered in 86. He was the type of trooper that you would have seen out on the parade ground blowing all the bugle calls, whether it be taps at night or reveille in the morning. And he is the chief trumpeter. He's the head of the musicians. And he's out right about where a chief trumpeter would have been, blowing his bugle calls.
It's fantastic.
No, thanks.
How long did it take you to put that together?
Chief trumpeter took me 1 year to upscale and to create in clay. And then it took the foundry here in Tucson locally another year to do all of the molds and the casting. And so it was a two-year project.
And so you made a 2-foot? Like a maquette to...
Right. I try to do about one-third the size of the original so that my enlarging machine works easier. And so, yeah, I did. I had a marquette, they call them, that was about one-third scale of the big one.
And did you use pictures, or was this just something right off the top of your head through the years of you seeing Western pictures and art and things like that?
It was pretty much a standard pose of a chief trumpeter. Where did I get the idea to geez, I it's just, it needed to, the story needed to be told there.
Well, it's awesome.
He identifies the place for what it is, and he's dressed in campaign uniform, full campaign, ready to probably head out. He's probably blowing recall or something along those lines.
It's awesome. It really is. During the Christmas season, I wish someone, you know how there's some fellas in town that put Santa Claus ears on Padre Kino's pony.
Oh, pathetic. Yeah. Awesome. I'm sure that the artist appreciates that.
Yeah, well, I always thought that it would be cool if the chief trumpeter was blowing out a banner that said Noel on it hanging down. You know, like one of those party favors.
It's pretty well taken care of. Yeah. City takes good care of it, and the public, people salute it sometimes, I've heard, when they drive by, and I always say blow, trumpet, blow every time I drive by it.
All right.
It's actually really well protected, too, by the community.
Surprisingly.
There's some lights that shine on it. And the minute a light goes out, the city gets a call saying, hey, the lights are out.
It's true. He's a great piece. He's got a lot of energy, and he's a very proud trooper. The horse that he's sitting on... you mentioned where I get my ideas and photographs and all. I just kind of sort of forgot that question. But models.
Really?
I've got to have live models. It's nice to come up with a general shape, maybe through photographs. But once you start hitting the clay, there's nothing like a live horse standing right in front of you, 360 degrees, and a model dressed up as an 1885 trooper. You just can't go wrong.
That's awesome. How did you get started as an artist?
Dabbling in art classes in junior high and high school. Instead of doing my homework, I would draw the teachers and stuff like that, get in trouble. So just always doodling.
And when working in clay, is that your favorite medium?
Yeah, absolutely. I started off in watercolors and really enjoyed drawing. You know, drawing is the basis for all art. Whether it be sculpture or anything else, you got to draw. And started that way, and started seeing sculptures in some of the art shows, and I said, I got to try that. And the first one that I did, 360 degrees, I said, this is for me. So that's been sold ever since.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Now, last week we were talking about the annual Fort Lowell soccer shootout.
Right.
It was the 21st annual Tucson Realtor shootout. People use that park all the time. There's soccer fields, there's ramadas. And the thing about monument art, the thing about the chief trumpeter, is that it really marks the parade, the actual parade grounds that are now, that big open space that you see as you drive down Craycroft. That space was actually the parade ground for the military when they were at Fort Lowell. I mean, Fort Lowell was a fort.
Sure.
The city and the county worked together and actually preserved some of the officers' quarters recently. And there's a big project going on right now in that area trying to, redefine it and figure out what we're going to do with it to be able to talk about what happened there, the history there, the cottonwoods that are there. I mean, a lot of them are gone now, but if you go out there and you can see they're sort of in a line. And that was actually a row of trees that demarcated one of the paths through the fort.
Oh, it's amazing. And on the other side of the break, we want to talk more. We're going to talk more with you, Mr. Bates, about the art in Tucson and where you think we've been and where we're going.
Let's do it.
So we'll stick with us. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
CNN Radio, I'm Stan Case. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi pledges to fight a Republican effort to repeal health care reforms.
We will stand firm against any attempts to prevent you from having access to quality health care.
The House is scheduled to vote tomorrow on the Republican repeal measure. Chinese President Hu Jintao arrived in the United States Tuesday for talks with President Obama. Talks expected to focus on trade, North Korea, and China's human rights record. A 15-year-old girl is in critical condition after what apparently was an accidental shooting at a Los Angeles high school. Police say it appears another student brought the gun to school in his backpack, and it went off when he put the backpack on a desk. A second victim was wounded in the neck. Sergeant Shriver, the Kennedy in-law who served as the first head of the Peace Corps, has died. Shriver was married to President John F. Kennedy's sister Eunice. He was 95. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot's free do-it-yourself workshop weekend is January 20th through 23rd. Learn how to renew and redo your bath for less. And get organized with hands-on tips covering everything from faucet installation to storage solutions. You'll add some great skills to your tool belt and some fresh updates to your home at this weekend's free do-it-yourself workshops. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Sponsored by American Standard and Closet Made. Register at homedepot.com/do-it-yourself.
Intuit Small Business presents Clarity in 30 Seconds. To see exactly where your business stands, just open Intuit QuickBooks and click on Reports. Hit the Profit and Loss tab. And there you have it, the bottom line, literally. All your income and expenses made clear, with enough time left over to give myself a crew cut. Goodbye, home perm. Try Intuit QuickBooks online free for 30 days at Intuit.com. We do the legwork so you can do what you love. Intuit. Small business rejoice.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
This is Lamont Hundley with Arizona Health with your Fred and Jeff Show fitness tips. A heart rate monitor tracks your fitness training level to help you achieve your maximum results. If you're going too easy or pushing too hard, the heart rate monitor will prompt you to either slow down or speed up. This guidance makes it very easy to stay in your target zone, and it helps you to get the most out of your workout. The monitor, it includes a chest strap that is worn very comfortably around the chest area and a watch that displays this information. It's like having a coach on your wrist. For more information, please contact Arizona Health at arizonahealth.com. This has been Lamont Huntley with your Fred and Jeff Fitness Tips.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Viejo barrio, barrio viejo, que en mi infancia te gocé, y con todos mis amigos.
Welcome back to the Fred and Jeff Show.
It's just a room full of jokers over here, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Too bad they don't all have microphones. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother Jeff.
Hey, everybody. I hope you all are having a safe drive home today.
And we're sitting over the Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124. This is the time and place that we talk about the cigar of the weekend. We have Big Mike on the air with us.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm smoking the cigar of the week, and it is very, very good.
Of course it is.
So I'm doing well. So give us a little idea. Give our listeners a little idea of what we're smoking here.
Well, this week, the cigar of the week is the Partagas Black Label, and it's been around for a couple years now. It's has a Connecticut wrapper on it. It's got a Dominican binder, and it's got a Nicaraguan and Dominican filler. And what's unique about this cigar, the wrapper, they call it a medio tiempo, and the blenders and rollers at the Partagas factory worked on this wrapper for over 10 years. And what they've done differently this time is they've kept the wrapper leaf on the plant 50% longer than usual, and that's what gives it its nice dark color.
It is dark.
So it's a very robust, very full-bodied smoke.
This cigar is dark to the point of it's intimidating.
Yeah, they don't call it a black label for nothing.
Oh, but it's good. So, it's real good.
Delicious,
what do you think, Fred?
Cigar.
It's very tasty. I mean, yeah. You know, some of these darker cigars, you got to, you know, work your way into them. You light it up, and some people think they're a little harsh or something. This is smooth, from the very get-go. And I'm about halfway through, and it's still just a beautiful, beautiful smoke.
Yeah, it's great. So the deal is buy three.
Buy three, get one free, as usual. And I've got it in multiple sizes, so come on down to the store and pick out what you like.
Outstanding.
And where's the store at?
Oh, we happen to be at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124.
You know, we're right next to Monkey Burger.
We are right next to Monkey Burger.
And if anyone wants to give us a call, please do. It's 747-4807.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Thanks
for your time. You're welcome, guys.
And we're going to take another quick break. And on the other side, we're going to talk some more with Mr. Dan Bates. So we will see you all in a minute.
A made-to-order, providing Tucson with quality housekeeping service since 1988. We can handle all your house cleaning needs, from one-time, move-outs, weekly, monthly, and on-call service available at your request. Our housekeepers are trained to make your house sparkle and shine. A made-to-order is even open on Saturdays, and credit cards are welcome. Let a made-to-order show you what we can do for you. 790-3195, 790-3195. A made-to-order, woman-owned and detailed. Focused.
Hi, I'm John Fina from Performance Footwear, and a lot of people think that after I finished playing pro football, my health insurance would not be an issue. Not true. So when I needed a great health plan for me and my family, I called the folks at Ronstadt Insurance. They hooked us up with the perfect policy from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, and we couldn't be happier. So if you're shopping for health insurance, give my friends at Ronstadt Insurance a call at 721-4848. They'll be happy to help you. Oh, and when my mom and dad turned 65, my friend Jim at Ronstadt Insurance helped them find the right Medicare plan. Call the pioneers in good service at Ronstadt Insurance, and they'll help you buy the right policy the first time.
Ronstadt Insurance is a full-service insurance agency. Give us a call at 721-4848 or look us up online at ronstadtinsurance.com. Ronstadt Insurance is an agent authorized to sell health insurance plans from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
Why did Temco Air Environmental win the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award?
We do what we say we're going to do, when we say we're going to do it, at the price we quoted.
Check us out with the Better Business Bureau or the Registrar of Contractors.
Temco Air Environmental, for all your heating and cooling needs.
Welcome back to the Fred and Jeff Show. We are here at the Tinderbox at the Williams Center at Craycroft and Broadway, 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124. All right, and we had a friend of the show walk in a minute ago, Tony Zinman. How you doing, Tony?
Real good.
And you wanted to give a quick shout out for the theatrical production you guys are hosting. At the Red Barn Theater, right?
Yeah, if you're looking for a great family event to bring your kids to this month, we are doing a production of Annie down at the Red Barn Theater, which is right there on 1st and Main, just a block south of where Speedway and Oracle are at. And it's a great show. We've got a terrific cast. It's the full show. Our girl that plays Annie, she's 11. She's terrific. It's just a real good time. You know, the song's great. You can't help but walk out of there feeling good.
Good. And you know, it's a very timely show as well.
Well, it is kind of weird. Some of the parallels, some of the lines seem like they're done from today.
But, right.
But yeah, it's you know, it has a good plot. It's, you know, kind of a little darkened sometimes, but you know, of course Annie wins. But yeah,
everybody wins at the end,
but,
right?
Yeah, but the music's great.
Right.
Yeah, it's just real uplifting. And I'm just enjoying doing it.
How long does your run go for?
We are running for the next two weekends. We are Friday night and Saturday night at 7:30 and Sunday at 2 for the next two weekends. Generally okay if you show up. You may want to call the Red Barn. We're on the web to get the number and make a reservation. But tickets are $15 for adults, $12 for kids, and it's a great family show. They'll love it.
And it's a little theater. It holds, what, like about 100?
We hold 60.
60 people.
Yeah.
So it's a very intimate experience.
It is.
All right. All right. Time. Well, thanks for coming by, Tony.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. So back with our guest, Mr. Dan Bates.
Okay.
So when we before we took our break, we were talking about the chief trumpeter at Fort Lowell Park, and I asked you a question during the news about how difficult was it to try to get that piece of art, because that was probably one of the largest pieces of art ever put into a city park, into a facility. How hard was it to get that piece of art put in there?
At the time, it really wasn't that hard. We had some very, you know, high city officials that were just sold on the idea. You know, tourism has always been very important in Tucson, and Chief Trumpeter out there sure didn't hurt the history buffs. And so, you know, at that time there was not a lot of bureaucracy, and it was just something that we put together as a city. The funds were donated. We didn't ask the government for a dime, and it was probably one of the most accepted gifts that Tucson has had. We had a huge turnout when we unveiled that thing.
And now, and that's kind of led to more pieces of art that is that graced the city of Tucson.
Yeah, well, it sort of has, you know, and it took a while for it to get going again. There's some great historical pieces here in Tucson. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, there's a Hugo Okonor, a statue of him in front of the Manning House downtown.
Right. Yeah.
We have Doc and Wyatt.
Doc and Wyatt.
Down at the train station.
At Downtown Depot. Obviously, Father Kino. Kino Boulevard.
Right.
The infamous Pancho Villa.
Pancho. Yeah.
John Greenway out in front of the Society.
And is there a Hopi Indian at the Udall Center?
Hopi Indian there, yeah.
The gal there,
the soldado down at the downtown at the Presidio,
the Mormon Battalion.
Guy. Oh, there's a tremendous piece at Armory Park of a Span Am soldier, of the finest pieces of work. And there's a duplicate of it as you go into Arlington Cemetery. So you know,
tell us
proud
about
to have that sucker.
Tell us about.
Well, I didn't do that one, but I admire it.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I wish I could think of the lady sculptress that did it, but that's another fine. Fine piece of public art.
And you know, especially living in Tucson and southern Arizona, where, you know, we're part of the Sonoran Desert, part of Sonora, Mexico, this whole region. And there's just tons of history, and it's wonderful that the art community has contributed those kind of things to our community, because it's a celebration. Every time we install one of those things, and they're there forever, it just celebrates who we are as a community, as a people, the history that's gone through this community.
That's
obviously, you know, Father Kino is instrumental with not only the missions, but bringing education and religion to the area. Obviously, the whole string of missions that go down into Mexico that he was responsible for.
Sure. These people have all, you know, they've had good and bad parts of their life, but you know, over the many years, these people have become folk heroes, and folk heroes are people. You know, I mean, you hear about some of these names all around the world. I mean, look up Doc Holliday on Google, and bam, there's the sculpture of Doc Holliday at the Tucson Train Depot.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And, I mean, we've got a lot of folk heroes in this area. My goodness.
and there's also, you know, the good and the bad. I mean, obviously, Pancho Villa stirred a lot of emotion when that was discussed, when that was, you know, it was a gift from the Mexican government to the U.S. And there were several sites across the country that were asked, and they rejected it, and finally Tucson accepted that piece.
Well, you know, these people become folk heroes over the years. You just can't deny it.
No, you can't.
You mentioned the word Pancho Villa or Doc Holliday in South Africa or the Netherlands, and they know who you're talking about.
Right.
And you're talking about Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, that's great.
You know.
Now, the piece downtown, Doc, obviously we're going to talk about your pieces while we're here with you.
Oh, that'd be good.
Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp stand proudly next to the train depot.
Good and stuff.
There's a little story that goes along with that because, you know, Doc and Wyatt and the Wyatt brothers were associated with Tombstone and the big fight at OK Corral.
They didn't have them exclusively.
Yeah, well, that, you know, a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, it's very true. So, well, you know, if people watch the movie Tombstone, they really get into what happened after the gunfight at OK Corral. And Tucson was always very involved with that whole bunch of guys. They were right in the middle of it.
Well, and
well, let's talk a little bit about the history, because that was a piece that was installed actually when I was on the council.
Yeah, and you were a big help, Fred.
Well, we had a good time putting that in.
Yeah, we did.
It was very interesting because, obviously it's a monument piece. It commemorates something that actually happened in Tucson when, after the big shootout at the OK Corral, Frank Stillwell came to Tucson, and Doc was right behind him.
Right behind him, and they found Frank Stillwell, and being former law officers, they did their job, and it's a story that is internationally known, and tickled to be able to done.
So let's talk a little bit about that story, because I remember the exact day when you guys came to the office, and you were there with
Paul Allen.
Got
to put his name
Tucson
in there.
Tucson Citizen, and,
yeah,
and some folks from the Arizona Historical Society, and
yeah.
And let's talk a little bit about that story, because obviously people are very familiar with the events at the OK Corral, but there, let's talk a little
good
bit
stuff
about after effects.
Well, after the OK fight, it wasn't done yet. Who was killed right after?
Virgil.
Virgil was shot in Wilcox, I believe, right?
That's right, and they laid him out on a pool table, and that's where he died.
Darn right. And then Morgan shot right out. So two more brothers were shot and killed after the OK fight. So Wyatt and Doc, being his best buddy, weren't done with business yet. Obviously, the gunfight was the most spectacular thing, but if you really get into the history of the whole thing, it's incredibly fascinating.
Well, and doesn't the story go that they thought that Stillwell shot Virgil? It was, they were inside of a bar, and he shot him from outside, killed him. They
right,
went to Tucson with the body to send
that's
the body.
Right. Yeah, they were on the train with the body going back to El Cajon.
And then they found out, guess what, Mr. Stillwell is here
Stillwell
in town.
Yeah, Stillwell and old man Clanton was there with him too.
And they blasted him.
They blasted him. They were armed to the teeth. They were kind of guarding. And they decided, let's go ahead and get off in Tucson, because they originally were going to go. I believe they heard somewhere in mid route that Stillwell was there, and it's very interesting dealing with guys like Bose Bell, those guys, on exactly how that thing played out.
Now, who's Bose Bell?
He's the True West, a man up there in Phoenix that runs the True West magazine, and he's a real ERP guy. Like a good friend of mine, John Gilcrease, was another ERP aficionado, knew everything about Wyatt and Doc. And talking to these guys, finding out, just what they wore and the kind of weapons they carried, and it's just.
And so that's how you put that piece of art together.
A lot of research, going back photographs, and then of course once I get the photographs, I'm back to the models, and I found two characters that looked the part, and working with photographs. And they knew the height of the guys and all that, so they're standing down there waiting for Mr. Stillwell to arrive on the train for him to come popping out of the hotel next door.
It's a great piece, because you've got now who's loading his shotgun?
Doc Holliday's got the shotgun. There was supposedly two shotguns at that deal, but there was a report that. They saw Doc Holliday getting off the train with a shotgun in each hand.
Oh, wow.
So I sort of putting two and two together, and I feel that Doc most often carried a Winchester rifle, but that when they got to push and shove down there and they finally saw the guy, it was close quarters, and I believe Doc threw Wyatt his extra shotgun.
And away they went.
In the way they went.
But, back in October, we had the Ghost Girl on a show. Remember when we had the Ghost Girl? And she she runs around downtown and she gives tours of all the ghosts that appear, from the Pioneer Hotel.
Yeah.
And one of the ghosts that they say appear every once in a while is the ghost of Frank Stillwell. You could hear laughing because she, according to the Ghost Girl, after they blasted Stillwell, he was such an unpopular guy that a lot of people cheered Doc and Wyatt.
At least the entourage that he had with him certainly were pleased.
Right.
Yeah. And then he pretty much just disappeared. Actually, no, he went back and he had to take a few care of him and Doc a few more of the Cowboys before that was over. So they went right back to Tombstone, believe it or not.
Wow. You so know. Now you've got a museum that you wanted to talk about for a minute.
Well, we do, you know, and a lot of these we're not, the work I do, I don't really try to protect. You know, these are folk heroes that need to be recognized, and Tucson doesn't need to be let out of the tremendous history background that we have. And one of my real loves is the Apache time when my great great uncle was West Point, and his first post was Fort Bayard, New Mexico, chasing Geronimo in 1884. And I've got letters that he wrote to his mom all over the hills, chasing Geronimo, meeting Chato, and how a rugged-looking man that was, and how he admired the pack animals at the Army, the pack mules, and how they packed. And fascinating. And, again, you know, these are guys that unbelievable hard life out here. The public in this area never did think that the Army was doing their proper job of protecting, and so they took a lot of scrutiny for the many miles and the hard times that they put into chasing Geronimo. So you know, the trumpeter out there, he's not a brigadier general or anybody like that. He's just a regular soldier.
And you've got a museum that's commemorating a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, it really, you guys, anybody's got to go. If you're interested in horses and the troopers that rode them, we've put together, me and a lot of other real aficionados, probably one of the finest collections of cavalry gear you'll ever see from the Dragoon era, 1840s, all the way to 1942 when they dehorsed the U.S. cavalry.
And where is this museum?
We're out on Tanque Verde Road near in the Pinnacle Peak Trail this town complex. Great big old barn that we've transferred into the Museum of the Horse Soldier. So we'd love to welcome anybody out.
Oh, that's great. And you're isn't your studio there as well?
I do have studio and some bronzes there that I had taken on a national tour last year and the year before. We went around to many, many Army posts and did bronze expeditions for these places.
How did that go?
That was great. Fort Knox was my favorite place.
Really? Tell us about that.
I love it. It was, you know, Fort Knox, home of the armored cav and the horse cavalry. And they brought out a whole bunch of tankers and tankers' families. And they got to see the bronzes of the heritage of the horse soldier. I got to meet George Patton's grandson. Looks just like him. Looks
wow.
just like him. Told him some stories of an old horse trooper that had ridden with Patton as a horse soldier. So it's a great love of mine. The horses involved in the military just gets me going.
That's great. And you were born and raised in Tucson.
Born and raised. Love the history. Grew up a lot around the Chiricahua Mountains, and that's where I fell in love with Arizona's history.
Cochise Stronghold.
Cochise, yeah. Chiricahua is right there, Rucker Canyon, right where it all happened.
Yeah, in the springtime, it's beautiful in there.
Absolutely. It's the history, just everywhere you go, there's history around here.
So working on any pieces right now that you want to share with us?
Well, I've finished a huge monument of a vaquero. A huge, this thing's got to be 15 feet tall.
Wow.
It will be installed somewhere around Valencia, I believe, probably this year. It's a beautiful piece. A large stallion horse with a vaquero. It's a knockout. And I may be working on a piece for the veteran cemetery there around Sierra Vista.
Now, well, tell us about this vaquero. What was the genesis of that?
There was a huge complex being built out on the old Valencia ranch. And the Valencia ranch is one of the largest cattle ranches in this entire area. That's what Valencia Road is named after, is the Valencia Ranch. And they had these huge complexes going on, and the people that were working on these projects wanted to represent the history of the area. So we came up with a Valencia Vaquero. And this guy will knock your socks off.
How, yeah. how do you tell me what is a Valencia Vaquero? I mean, it's,
well, it's a Hispanic cowboy. He's got a lot of the Vaquero equipment, but he's also got, you know, American pieces, American head stalls, and Colt 45s, and some American things on him. But he represents the beginning of the cattle industry in this part of the country.
That's
and
great.
That's really what it's about.
And about what time frame?
We're looking around the 80s also.
1880s.
Got a thing about it. Yeah, 1880s, 70s, 80s.
Now,
yeah.
Now you think about the American cowboy, and obviously the mythology is translated in old Western novels, movies, that type of thing. And it's the American cowboy is very different. The vaquero is very different than the American cowboy.
Very much.
The vaquero
taught the American cowboy, basically. Be honest with you.
Well, because the American cowboy came out from the East.
Pretty much, and he learned all his skills from the vaquero out here. They're all Spanish horses, and yeah.
And weren't the Spanish horses a lot smaller than we kind of envisioned today?
Well, some of them got pretty good size and pretty feisty. Brought over by the conquistadors, and a lot of them were left, and a lot of breeds developed from that. They really are in this area. They're the beginning of the cowboy.
Oh, that's great.
In any area, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona.
Oh, that's great. So folks want to come and see your cavalry museum.
Cavalry museum.
They can come to Trail This Down.
Sure.
And you guys are open?
They're open from 1 to 7 every night.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
And then if people want to come and check out your studio, that's open to the public as
yeah,
well.
It's also in the same building, so come on by and see some of the pieces there. I've got to mention one other piece. If you're ever in Fort Huachuca area, you've got to see the monument to the Apache Scout. That was probably one of the pieces I'm most proud of, is honoring the Apache Scout there right on the grounds of Brown Field at Fort Huachuca. It shows the real contribution that the Apache made to the U.S. Army, and they have not been recognized in my mind until the Army commissioned this monument at Fort Huachuca.
And what did the Apache bring to the Army?
Well, the Apache, you know, there was always an old saying during the Apache Wars that it took an Apache to find an Apache.
Oh,
and so
that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. The Army just ran around with their head cut off. The Apache knows this area better than anyone.
Right.
Troops of cavalry would ride right by an Apache and would never know it. A lot of the Apache scouts were from San Carlos and White River. They put in their time as regular army. They actually, you know, they were their own people, and yet they were trying to do justice, served the Army diligently. Actually, was a great part in getting Geronimo to surrender. And at the end of the whole war, the general at that time loaded up our Apache scouts that put honor into those years and put them on the same train with the prisoners,
wow.
Apaches, and sent them all to Fort Marion, Florida, to prison. And Apaches and after that went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And when we dedicated that sculpture of an Apache scout directing a cavalry officer, there was tears in the general's eyes at Fort Huachuca. So it was a very great day for me.
And you know, these monument pieces, you know, you think that you're celebrating, like, you know, big things, great things, but there's also some dishonor on our part to the really.
This is where I love to step in and try to justify, try to make things right in a small way.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks, Dan Bates.
Hey, my pleasure.
We appreciate everything you do for our community.
It's been a hoot. Hope we can do some more.
Absolutely. And thanks for tuning in to the Fred and Jeff Show. We got to go now. If you missed the first part or if you want to hear it again, remember electronic companion, fredandjeff.com, or download us on iTunes and listen to your car. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week with Jim Murphy from the Pima Council on Aging.
KJLL, South Tucson.